it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. We are halfway through the week, which means we are closer to Super Bowl week. And the Kings have a game against the Miami Heat tonight. And the Miami Heat, not only are they dealing with losing seven straight games, now all of a sudden, thanks to Kendrick Perkins, they are dealing with trade rumors about one Jimmy Butler. Is this the most unique situation, Chris Watkins, to go to the finals, add people, right, add a scorer like Terry Rozier, and now all of a sudden, now this isn't going to happen, but there are odds because there are odds on everything.
Of course.
And now the conversation is, could Jimmy Butler get moved before the trade deadline? Why the Heat would do that? Jimmy Butler has said he loves the Heat.
Yeah.
He wants to retire a member of the Miami Heat. I don't know how we got here, but we're here now.
I don't either. I have no idea how we got here. I woke up this morning, I see the odds, and then I'm like, all right, what is there like an article that was written?
Yeah.
Was Jimmy Butler upset in the press conference yesterday? And it seems like Kendrick Perkins pretty much started all of this. So I don't know how legitimate it is, but if Jimmy Butler is even remotely on the trade block, we're going to talk about it later, but I think that's something that the Kings definitely need to kick the tires on. We'll talk about it later, but unless you want to do it now,
No, we can start the show.
I just think that it's really crazy. You're right. How we got here. Maybe there's some weird domino effect from them not getting Damian Lillard to this point that we're at now, but it feels a bit extreme because Miami was the 8 seed going into the playoffs last year. Of course, they're not going to be okay with that every single year, but I would use that and say, hey, you know, that's proof that we just need to make the tournament. And then once we make the playoffs, we'll deal with that as we may. We'll take an opponent at a time. But I think that Heat team is incredibly dangerous. And if you're going to blow it up and trade Jimmy, I don't really know what Miami's future would be at that point.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. We have our Kings Roundtable that will be at 12:30. We're back to our normal time.
That's right.
We will have Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli joining us.
Both of them
joining us to talk about just that, Jimmy Butler and also the other trades. And at this point, I mean, Chris, we do this every week. We check our dates every week here. It is now the last day of January.
Hey, we finally made it. We survived.
It's January 45th.
Yes.
And January is finally over.
My goodness.
Nate Littlefield behind the glass, by the way. Nate doing a great job already, as
killing
always.
It, Nate. You're doing so good.
Nine days left
yeah.
for the trade deadline.
Yeah.
It's over, right? There's not going to be a move. No, it's over now.
No,
we know that now.
No, what are you talking
about? We know that now.
What are you talking about?
It's over now.
What are you talking about? How is it over?
It's over now.
Are you doing a bit?
I'm not doing a bit.
He has to be doing a bit.
Are you serious?
Because
you know it gets crazy. Hours,
this is like
Sabonis was traded hours before, right, Chris? Am I wrong?
Yeah, it was the day before.
But this is a
team.
This is a team. This is a team that already has that chemistry. Who is the piece that you're removing at this point?
The same pieces that you were removing 2 weeks
Harrison?
Ago.
Harrison?
Yes.
Herder?
Yes. Those are the names that you're going to throw out there for sure.
Like but listen to me. What if they continue to win? What if they go 7-0 on this road trip? You don't think that affects anything?
If they go 7-0 on the road trip, yeah, I could definitely see how they would say let's maybe run this out and see what we got. But
now let me ask you a question.
You go from a 7-game losing streak from a 4-game losing streak to a 4-game win streak. I don't think that should change.
But let's stick with seven, okay?
Okay,
let's stick with seven. Chris Watkins.
Yeah.
Knowing what you feel about this team.
Yeah.
You are one of the biggest Kings fan I know.
Yeah.
Would you lose the battle to win the war? What I'm asking is, if 7-0 puts them in a position to where they might not make a move, would you rather them go 5-2?
I guess.
Wow.
But I don't think that they, like, I mean, I think they have to make some sort of move.
But I'm saying if they go 7-0, I don't know that.
I think they'll still tinker on the side. I think if anything, that would say, hey, maybe actually we do have a real shot at this thing. Like maybe even that says let's be more aggressive in trying to get a rotation piece. Maybe you could argue it's over for the big deal, like talking about the Kings moving on from or moving for Jimmy Butler. That can be something like those talks could possibly be over. But even then, I would tell you it's not over until quite literally 12 o'clock on Thursday, because things change real quick. People pick up the phone. Sometimes people change their mind. Sometimes people bluff for a week leading into the deadline, and then all of a sudden,
it's definitely a no for me.
Hey, man,
that's me right now.
I'm like, it's happening, man. It's something's going to happen. I mean, even if it doesn't happen from the Kings, things are going to happen around this trade deadline. There's way too many teams that need to make moves. There's no way they will stand pat and do nothing. I mean, the Kings might not make big moves, but it's going to get active around the deadline.
We have a big conversation coming up about Joel Embiid and this new rule with the amount of games that you're allowed to miss to still be eligible for awards like MVP, things like that. Now, Joel Embiid gets injured or re-injured, but I guess they're saying it's a new injury last night against the Warriors. And it's not just the Kings that are dealing with this. You know, it reminds me of something, Chris. You know, we love talking about school on this show. And when...
Love.
I love it because I'm done with it now, right? I wouldn't love if I still had to go to school. But there's just something to be said about when your back is against the wall, all of a sudden you start trying a little bit harder.
Of course.
Right? And then the teacher says, man, Alan, if you had done this
all year, heard that one before.
You wouldn't be struggling to get this B minus or C plus. You would have had a B plus or an A minus.
Right.
Now we see what Harrison Barnes went, and it's not that it's new for Harrison Barnes to trade discussions, but maybe it just got real. All of a sudden this stuff gets real, and Harrison Barnes sees a 7-game road trip coming up and he balls out. Right, he starts to ball out, okay? So Harrison Barnes has, 230 balls, and then he has over 20-piece, no legs, all wings. And we're thinking, wow, where has this Harrison Barnes been? Now let's take it to the Bay. And you have Andrew Wiggins last night against no Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. He said he looked fine. He didn't really look great.
He did not look fine.
All game long prior to injury. You have Warriors fans dealing with the same thing with a name that we just brought up yesterday. Andrew Wiggins drops 23, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and Warrior fans are thinking, where has this been? I'm not going to say these guys are just coasting. I can't say that, and it's not fair, but what a coincidence.
Yeah, but I would say if I were a GM, that would make me want to trade you more.
Sure.
I would say this is exactly the problem. It shouldn't take your back being against the wall for you to perform like this. We paid you that contract so that you would always or semi-consistently perform like this. And if it takes your back being against the wall for you to perform at your highest level, that's not a guy I want on my championship or team that I think has championship aspirations. So if that is true, if even a semblance of that is true, like if I were Monty McNair or Mike Dunleavy, I would say definitely buy. Like I'm absolutely picking up the phone because I don't want that kind of guy in my locker room. And I don't think Harrison Barnes is a bad guy at all. I mean, I think
I'm not saying they're consciously doing it. I'm saying it could even be
a fight or flight kind of thing.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to. Right. I don't necessarily want to leave. Yeah. I got to do something. Yeah.
It's a possibility for sure. And, you know, if that's what it is, I mean, that's fine. It's just you have to also know as a GM, it's not going to last.
Right, like, it's human nature is what I'm saying.
You can live on fight or flight for a while, but you're not going to be able to survive off it for the rest of the year, the rest of the season. So if you're a GM, that's another thing too, is you can't get caught up in the day-to-day. You can't get caught up in HB having a good week. You can't get up in Andrew Wiggins finally coming out of his slump and hoping, okay, maybe this is how we turn things around for the Warriors. You can't get caught up in that. You have to have a wider view. And, of course, you have to always take in new information as it comes. But if you were definite on we need to trade Harrison Barnes, one good week shouldn't completely flip your opinion. Now, if you were on the fence about it, if you were Monty McNair and saying, you know, Harrison's our best trade asset, but I still really want to keep a good collection of forwards – and he has this good play, maybe I could see how that would take him off of the block or make you a little bit more hesitant to deal with him. But I don't know. From all the indications that we've gotten all year long, more so in terms of how active the Kings have been in trade talks, to me it seems like they made up their minds that they were going to ship off, or at least try and ship off, one of HB or Herder this year.
Yeah, I would put it in the bucket of it's just human nature. When your back is against the wall, you're going to tap into something that you maybe don't tap into. And it's very similar to a contract year. A contract year, you see guys ball out, after the contract, they don't do that. Andrew Wiggins last night, 8 of 10 from the field, 1 of 2 from three-point range, 6 for 6 from free throw. And if you've ever watched Andrew Wiggins shoot a free throw, that might be the most impressive stat. Plus 18 on the night, 23 points. And your boy, your Bizzle.
Yeah, JK.
JK. What you got to say, 11 for 19, 1 for 3 from three-point range, 3 for 4 from the free throw line, 26 points.
Yeah.
Here's Chris's problem, 2 assists. And by the way, Andrew Wiggins had 3 steals. Kaminga had 3 steals. Kaminga had 7 rebounds.
That's great. That's great.
That's the most impressive stat.
That's awesome. I think 3 steals is incredibly impressive. That's the kind of stuff I think Jonathan Kaminga needs to bring every night, is just deflections, some steals, if he can get some blocks as well, and it's the other stuff. I don't think, you know, his scoring is great, but I don't think his future in this league is a 26-point-per-game or 25, 24-point-per-game scorer. I feel like his biggest impact is going to be made doing everything else.
Real quick, we have to go to break, but do you even think the Warriors would do business with the Kings and vice versa?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
I think the Warriors would do business with the Kings. I feel like the Kings would be hesitant to do. I think at the end of the day, if the deal is good, it'll get done. But I think that there's a lot more risk involved with the Kings messing up a trade with the Warriors than the Warriors messing up a trade with the Kings, if that makes sense. Just from the outside perception.
Right.
You know, like you got fleeced by the Warriors.
You got to stay away from Andrew Wiggins. I'm sorry. We've both been there. I don't know, Nate, what your grades were, but we've all been there when it's, okay, Nate says he has good grades. Good for you. What were your SAT scores? We've all been there where it's just, all right, yeah, we got this final coming up. I'm going to cram and study, and maybe you find a way. And the teacher says, wow, where has this Andrew Wiggins been all semester long?
Yes.
Okay, now that you gotta make sure that you're eligible to play or whatever it is, now you level up. So I think it's the same thing with Harrison Barnes. I don't think you can fall for it, unfortunately. And I really do like Harrison Barnes. We all do, as a person and a player. But if they do go 7-0 on this road trip, it's gonna be very hard, because that would make them 8-0, right? And that would, and I know we're gonna check in on Tyrese Halliburton, and you got the Bulls and you got the Cavs. If you take care of business, because this is going to be a hungry Heat team.
Yes.
This is going to be a Heat team that I think you are digging, and you got to deal with Jimmy Butler. 7 straight, that is just, we heard from Terry Rozier yesterday. That's unacceptable.
Yes.
This is Heat culture.
Yeah.
Okay, Udonis Haslem might come out of retirement and say, hey, man, we got to figure this thing out. He might give them a pump-up, you know, a pump-up speech before the game.
I don't want Jimmy Butler either thinking, having a, oh, y'all gonna trade me game?
Oh my
where
goodness.
He's
just
worked up
that.
And he's like, okay, go ahead and trade me now.
Yeah.
Drops 45.
Right. Who would it be instead of Tobias Harris this time?
Oh my God.
I don't even know who the Heat would be getting back. Harrison Barnes over me? All right, gotta get to a break. When we get back, we discuss the NBA's new 65 game limit rule and how that's affecting the future of the NBA. Tyrese Halliburton had some things to say about it. Sam Amick, friend of the station, wrote a piece about it as well. Why is this happening? We also, 12:30, have the Kings roundtable. You don't want to miss that. Prop talk later on in the show. And we made the rounds yesterday about some of this A's situation. We will follow up on that. Chris has his A's hat on, looking real good. I'm more of a flat brim guy, but a nice curve, that's good too. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The NBA's new 60-game limit for postseason awards, bad for the league. We have Sam Amick, who wrote a piece here. We have some clips from that. And before we get to that, Live Nation is timed up with Sactown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at the Hard Rock Sacramento. I heard it's beautiful this time of year. April 13th, hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. We will look for, not right now, I did that again. It's the wrong Burgundy thing. Ron Burgundy thing. Hit up the Folsom Lake hotline at 1 p.m. and Chris is going to pick the number this time. I picked the last couple days. And we will give you tickets. For more information, sactownsports.com. That's at 1 p.m., 916-339-1140. And we're opening up the phone lines, by the way, as well, 916-339-1140. Sam Amick, this is from the piece. People within the Sixers organization believe Joel Embiid forced himself to play through injuries due to scrutiny he received in the recent days. Here you go. You could see it long before he was hurt against the Warriors. Embiid, who missed Philadelphia's game at Portland on Monday night, looked like a player who pushed himself to play against Golden State because the whole basketball world was screaming in his ear. There are people within the Sixers who are convinced that he played only because of all the scrutiny. Now, if you have Nick Nurse tell it, right, in that post-game presser, he said that it didn't sound like that. It sounded like Embiid was just good to go. Chris, what is your takeaway from this? We have the Embiid part of it, and then we just have the 65-game limit in general.
Yeah, I think the Embiid part is really scary because I saw a video of him yesterday just trying to jump. Like he was just literally trying to get a block and he couldn't elevate. He couldn't even jump off of the ground. He just falls straight to the ground. And like that's scary. Like that looks like you're tearing your ACL, your LCL, just the fact that you can't
like
even.
Like he gave out.
He just couldn't jump. Yeah, like he couldn't even hop, not even credit card hops, nothing. I think that's incredibly telling. To me, that when I saw that, I was just like, there's no way that this isn't just public pressure. And, you know, Joel, he's on Twitter all the time. He's always tweeting, trolling. I know he sees it. I know for a fact he sees all of the ducking Jokic stuff. I know. And he's somebody who's been really vocal about, you know, hearing it and letting it affect him. And it definitely seems like that's the case here. It feels like he's not 100% healthy and this is his version of just kind of trying to silence the haters because
he
that's
got bullied
really,
to play.
Yeah, that's Joel's number one criticism is he doesn't play games and he doesn't play through injury. And so I think this was his way of saying, look at this. Look at me playing through injury and you can see that I'm not 100%, but I'm going to play for your entertainment. And, yeah. You know, it's just sad to see.
We got the audio right here when Embiid went down.
And Embiid is down. Joel Embiid is down on the ground.
Yeah, this will be the end of his night. He looks like he is in a great deal of pain here. Excellent defense by Kuminga. Oh.
That's right there.
Landed right on his leg, probably hyperextended.
Ugh. Just real quick, I mean, Steve Kerr was making fun of Phoenix. That sounded like Club Phoenix in the Bay last night with that music as we're trying to figure out Embiid and you just
Usher preview. Yeah, man. Get Usher
whatever,
ready.
Whatever
know?
That was.
At
but,
first, Draymond was on him, and I thought Draymond was the one that landed on his knee. Mm-hmm. Oh. But then they said Kuminga. I was like, oh, my. That would have been
crazy.
Insane. Because what happened, if you didn't see it, I'll describe it. He sat down on his kneecap that was basically just like if you're sitting on the floor with your legs out, he just like sat on his kneecap and
it just
didn't
like
look good.
Slapped off the
that's
the court.
Their reaction was so natural. Gundy, it was gross.
Yeah. And, you know, there's two separate things. There's whether because now Nick Nurse, to be honest, he's for everyone saying he shouldn't have played. Nick Nurse is saying it's a new injury.
Yeah.
So we're kind of hearing two different things between, right. Not I guess not two different things, but they're two different conversations.
Conflicting for sure.
Sam Amick and his piece basically saying that he was pressured to go, even if he was pressured to go or not, Nick Nurse is saying that it was a different injury.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but you could argue that, you know, not necessarily in that freak accident of a case, but him playing through an injury leads to possibly injuring something else. I mean, you know, you tear your Achilles and then,
right.
you know, you overcompensate with your other leg and then you end up hurting your ankle or hurting your knee or something like that. And so I think it's just, it's a dangerous precedent. I think that's more what Sam's article is about, is not necessarily this specific injury,
right.
but just, hey, this is a case of somebody who got pretty much, like you said, peer pressured or, mm-hmm. or bullied
yeah.
into playing basketball games when he was actually hurt. Is that actually good for the NBA to have your players playing through injury if it's legitimate? And maybe, you know, maybe it all kind of is, it became a slippery slope with resting and then injury management as well. But we also saw this with Tyrese Halliburton, right? You said he had some comments about this, but Tyrese did a similar thing where I don't think he was pressured into coming back, but he definitely came back too soon. And I think it had something to do with the fact that they made the Siakam trade and he really wanted to get out there.
Yeah, and this is, I have the, we'll get the full quote after the break, but yeah, Tyrese Halliburton calls the 65-game minimum for award eligibility a stupid rule. And I just want to have a conversation and not to be the get-off-my-lawn guy, but with all this new technology, I have some numbers here that are pretty crazy from back in the day, and I just want to workshop
sure.
why.
Okay.
I don't know yeah. what it is, but I do want to workshop why. It could be AAU. It could be a lot of different things. We'll get into it when we get back. Why are players playing less and getting injured more than they were in years past? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
The San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Super Bowl 58, live from Las Vegas, Sunday, February 11th on Sactown Sports.
Sacramento weather is brought to you by Arnold Law Firm.
I'm Tamara Berg in the KCRA 3 Weather Center. Your Wednesday starts out cloudy and overcast, with showers developing late in the afternoon and through the early evening. Rain could be heavier at times overnight tonight. It's also going to be breezy with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Get the latest forecast on the KCRA 3 News and the KCRA 3 app.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Per Adam Schefter, a youth movement in Seattle. Seahawks are expected to hire Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald as their new head coach, league sources tell ESPN. This is another tweet from Adam Schefter. Ravens defense under Mike McDonald allowed the fewest points per game, 16 and a half, while also recording the most sacks, 60, and takeaways, 31, this past season. Niner fans, are you okay with this, right? I feel like the offensive coordinators are scarier.
Yeah, definitely.
On the surface,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
So I think I would assume a lot of Niner fans are okay with this
right.
to start. We'll see what happens.
Why is it that Seattle, because the other guy that, I mean, when we were talking with Brandon mm-hmm. Gustafson, what was that, about a month ago, mm-hmm. he was saying Dan Quinn was the name that he was seeing circulated the most. So my question is, why is Seattle seemingly so obsessed with adding a defensive coordinator?
I guess that's just their identity. That's who
I guess,
they've
right.
been.
Yeah, LOB, right.
Right, that's who they just want to continue to be. I mean, it's, yeah, there are mostly offensive coordinators being hired, but there's still a good bit. I mean,
sure.
And then you see a D'Amico Ryans
of course,
do
yeah.
his thing. Robert Saleh hasn't had the same success.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that is on Robert Saleh, right? They still have some good offensive pieces. So,
right. And not that a DC can't be a good coach. It's
right.
It's just to your point, it just seems like, A, it's the trend to add the OC, and B, it's just, I mean, you see how it's done wonders for the Niners. I mean, or teams like the Niners, or any team, even the Rams as well, just teams when you have offensive coordinators as your head coach, year over year, your offense isn't going to change. You can get plucked from coordinators.
That's
and
true.
Your offense is going to be the same. Your quarterback will be dealing with the same people year after year, or at least one of the same people being the head coach. if you have a defensive coordinator, you're going to have to hire a really talented offensive coordinator, and then you better hope that guy doesn't get poached like a Ben Johnson or something like that, and then you got to start all over again.
Yeah, luckily for the Lions, Ben Johnson decided to stay. Yeah, so there's essentially three options for NFL head coaches. You go offensive guy, defensive guy, or rah-rah guy. We need to sit down. This is a summer thing. We need to sit down, break down what percentage of...
Right, each coach, or how many... Yeah,
of the teams, what percentage is what? Because if you are, right, a Niners fan, okay, this is the defensive coordinator, I'm cool with it, right? That's who the Seahawks have been. Because I think what's the most scary piece of a team is, okay, do you trust a DC to get that... to get that quarterback. Now, D'Amico Ryans, that situation has worked out beautifully. Only year one, but it's worked out beautifully. In New York with the Jets, not so much.
Right.
I guess it was supposed to when you go and get Aaron Rodgers, but that didn't work out. These defensive guys, it just feels like it's more important to have the quarterback if you hire a defensive guy, because maybe the defensive guy... it just gives you more leeway.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. If you have a Sean McVay went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, you know, you eventually had to level up and get Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
But these guys, Kyle Shanahan went to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's not happening, in my opinion, if you have a defensive guy and you don't have an absolute stud at QB. So there's
or an OC.
Or at OC.
One or the other.
Or
right?
at OC. So if you're. And we'll pull up Tankathon. I know we did that because I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's extremely high for the Seahawks. But the Seahawks right now are sitting at 16. Mm. I don't know
like
what you're going to be able to give up.
That's quite literally the, like the middle of the draft. No, it's terrible. I mean,
everybody thinks he's going to get Penix.
You're in wait and see mode at that point.
Penix is not A. And I saw that. Hey, guys, hold on. Early measurements are out on some of these QBs.
They're at the Senior Bowl these days, yeah.
Michael Penix Jr., big hands. I'm just saying.
Really?
Big hands. I saw that. And he's a lefty. So, Seattle, go get your guy.
How tall is he? 6'3"?
He didn't. Look, he doesn't like look. That, he looks like Lamar to me, right? He looks like a 6'2"-er.
Like thin, too?
Yeah, muscular, like a 6'2"-er to me. Chris is pulling it up. All he looks like a 6'2"-er
Type
to
in
me.
Michael Penn.
It should come
definitely
right on
not
up.
By yeah. Penix. He is Michael Penix is listed at 6'3".
Yeah, that's
probably
checks
actually
out.
Yeah 6'2". Yeah.
Home,
so,
hometown
could be a tall 6'1".
Home state.
Yeah,
home
very
state.
Possible.
Right. Yeah.
There
staying
you go.
In, yeah.
There you
continue
go. So
does he go higher than Bo Nix?
I
probably.
I hope so because
probably.
I don't know. I just the Bo Nix age thing would just Penix is also
young.
An older guy too, right? I know he had the knee issues and in that. Delayed his college career, but I don't know. I wasn't ever impressed with Bo Nix, but I rarely was like, this guy screams NFL quarterback, at least with Penix. And, you know, I wasn't the hugest biggest college football watcher, but just felt like Penix had a little bit extra to him.
They were saying he was the best thrower. Yeah. They were saying he was the best thrower in the
I think the knees are really the biggest question.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just health.
It does scare me. When someone doesn't run at all,
yeah.
I mean, I am very excited to see Michael Penix's 40 time if he runs it, because it's not a matter of whether or not, maybe that's just not his style, but can you do it if you need to?
Sure. Yeah.
Can you do it if you need to?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud
escapability.
Can do it if he needs to.
Absolutely.
Because if you have a bad line, Joe Burrow is not a burner, mm-mm. but he's slippery.
Yep.
Are you slippery?
Brock Purdy.
Slippery. But Brock Purdy probably
athlete.
Runs a quicker 40 than Joe Burrow.
Don't
That'd be
started.
My guess.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously. A 10-yard split.
It's definitely a faster 10-yard split.
It's faster than a car.
Okay. Ravens again. Ravens are losing it, and this is what happens when you go far, but you don't get it done. You still get poached, okay? You still get poached, but at the same time, you don't have the hardware. So now Ravens are losing their defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, who is headed to Seattle. Niners fans, how you feeling? 916-339-1140. Let's get out to JR, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, JR? What you got for us?
Hey, what's up, Wet Blanket? What's up, De La Salle?
What's up?
Hey, lifelong Niner fan. We don't really consider Seattle really anything.
Right.
As we all know their history, they came in as an NFC team, got relegated, were an AFC team, got kicked out. CFL wouldn't take them, so they went back to the NFC. So, you know, that's the reality of their history. They had a couple of good years. Russ pulled some magic out of his pocket with our boy that just got fired. I don't even know his name. That's why how irrelevant he is. So, you know, I don't care who they pick. They had their couple years. They're done. They're not really anything. They're not the Rams or the Cowboys, real rivals. So they could choose her. They could have had Harbaugh, for God's sakes. I wouldn't have cared.
I don't know about that, JR.
I would have said, hey, we would have welcomed him with a nice big standing ovation for him one game, and then the next game he came back, we'd boo him. So we were fine with that. Yeah, Seattle's not seeing anything deep in the playoffs for a good 10, 15 years. So just deal with that fact, Seattle. Why don't you just relegate yourself, go up to CFL, maybe you can win a Grey Cup up there. Okay, girls?
Thanks
Love
for the call,
show.
JR.
Great
Bye.
Call, JR. That
Thanks
is the best
JR,
take I've heard on this show.
Yes,
it is. Yes, it is. They're
telling
irrelevant.
Me if Harbaugh went to Seattle, you wouldn't have been like.
I was just kind of on board for all the Seattle hate.
All right.
So that's
enough.
What a. Harbaugh to Seattle would be weird. Especially after, like, really the beef
weird.
They've kind of. Harbaugh had
it would
when
be the
here.
Inverse.
He couldn't work with
Richard
Pete
Sherman.
Carroll.
It would be the inverse Richard Sherman.
Oh, that would be disgusting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be uncomfortable to look at, like, him in Seattle gear. It's weird.
What about him doing the who's got it better than us thing?
Oh,
in
that
Seattle.
Would burn.
A lot of people. Most teams
that
is what I would
burn.
Say to that.
That would burn if that
95% of the league.
You get Mike McDonald, who.
Dude, Drew Locke is sick.
Yeah, Mike
Dude,
McDonald.
Dude, Geno. He's a Pro Bowl guy.
You're dealing with the 16th pick in the draft. You need a quarterback. You have great. Offensive pieces.
Got weapons.
Okay,
yeah, for
you
sure.
definitely have weapons. You have a great young defense. That is the thing. This could be LOB part two. They have a great young defense. They have offensive pieces. But as we've seen, you could have all these things, right? You could have great ingredients for a sandwich, but if you don't have bread, it's kind of hard to make a sandwich. And I think that the quarterback.
It's called a bowl these days.
It's called a bowl, right? Or it's called paleo. Yeah. And I don't think paleo bowls are going to win you a Super Bowl. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are discussing the new 65-game limit for postseason awards in the NBA. And we have some numbers that are just a little bit surprising. Why are players playing less in the NBA than in years past? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Here's some numbers for you. Michael Jordan played in at least 78 games in 12 of his 15 seasons. Nine
wow.
times he played all 82
Say
games.
Nine?
Nine times.
Wow.
16 times, John Stockton played all 82 games. Five times, Scottie Pippen played all 82 games. Four times, Kobe Bryant played all 82 games. Now, off the top of my head, Chris, I don't think the numbers look like that for the stars right now. You have Joel Embiid, who I believe
definitely not
has only eclipsed 65 games, maybe once or twice. I don't know that he has.
I would guess once.
I don't. HB. I don't even know 82. If Kevon Looney did it couple years ago.
Last
I
year.
Actually
I
don't
think
know.
Two straight if, years Kevon Looney did.
I actually don't know. And Joel Embiid isn't maybe the best.
He's definitely not.
Because he had injuries coming into. I know Kyrie.
I mean, I would tell you this. LeBron James is the most durable athlete I think I have seen in my lifetime, especially for a star, but. Just in general, I mean, when you factor in the amount of LeBron has played the most minutes of any human who has played basketball ever. And he has only played 82 games once. And that was his last season in Cleveland. He's been really close. He's played 81 a time before that. He's got a couple 79s. He's got an 80, 78, but has only played 82 games once. In his entire career.
You said his last season in Cleveland. Is that his first
second
or second?
Stint.
Really?
Second stint.
That
yeah.
is shocking to me.
He was 33 years old in 2017-2018. He played 82 games.
Joel
that was the only time he's ever done it.
Joel Embiid, the most games he's ever played in a season is 68. He's got 68, he's got a 66, he's got a 64, he's got a 64.
He's never played 70 games in his NBA career.
Ever. Now, really, and Joel, we know that Joel Embiid came into the league with injuries. I think,
sure.
And Stephen A. went off about this morning on First Take. Really, a lot of this is because of Kawhi Leonard, right?
Yeah,
and,
for
and
sure.
He's very, and Stephen A. is very open about that. Kawhi Leonard has always said, obviously, he's going to say he's going to play if he's healthy. The most games Kawhi Leonard has ever played, he reached 70 twice in back-to-back seasons with the Spurs.
I was going to say, tell me something non-Spurs, though.
Yeah, he played 72 in 2016. He played 74 in 2017. After that,
okay,
he played
impressive.
60 with the Raptors.
Okay.
For that one season, yeah. Champion. 60 with the Raptors. After that, it's only gone this season. Maybe he'll eclipse it. After that, first season in L.A., he played 57. Second season, 52. Third season, 52. And right now, he's at 41. So he's going to pass that. We assume he's going to pass that.
So maybe with the exception of the COVID-shortened season, Kawhi has never played or has always missed at least a quarter of the season, pretty much. Is what you said, 68 games was the most that he played since?
No. Or, Since leaving San Antonio, the most he played was 60 in Toronto.
60? Oh, my. So he missed 22 games. Wow, yeah. That's really bad. Yeah, that's a quarter of the season that he's missed every single year. And, yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good point from Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
I think that Kawhi is definitely the reason why it's at such the forefront because, yeah, I mean, I just listed LeBron's numbers. It's not LeBron that's missing games. Like, when you're talking about the tippy top, KD is, I mean, up until he really started to pick up those injuries, KD was a guy who's hooping every single night. And Russell Westbrook, we know he loves to play every single night. It feels like Kawhi definitely started this with his, I think it started on the Spurs, but he definitely started this with his load management. It got out of control. It wasn't just Kawhi who made this thing get out of control, but Kawhi was definitely the first domino to fall in this. And then it felt like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it kind of became an epidemic where I think even the Warriors were sitting people on TNT games and things like that.
They sat like four guys. And here's the thing. This is what happens in life, not just in sports. It's the overcorrection.
Yes, exactly.
So okay, right now we're at what? It's at 65 games. Maybe it should be 60. I don't know. 60 feels too low.
Yeah.
65?
That's the problem.
They're saying it's too high. We have some quotes here. Draymond on. He's back podding again. Draymond.
He is, yeah.
Podmon Green.
He dropped one last night, I think.
And
right?
he was, I'll just tell you this, he was not a fan of the 65 game situation. This is everybody's favorite ex-king, Tyrese Halliburton. Here's a quote. I think it's a stupid rule, like many guys in the league, but this is what the owners want. So as players, we have to do our job and play in 65 games if we're able to.
Yeah.
That's what I got to do, take care of my body to be able to play in those games because he's up against
it
now.
Yeah.
Do you know why Tyrese said it too? He's going to miss out probably.
Yeah, he's up against it because of that hamstring injury.
$60 million.
And when you look at Tyrese, he was carried off the court.
Yeah.
And we even said, hey, brother, you keep trying to come back too fast. Maybe this is part of it.
Yeah.
This is part of it. So, okay, I got some more numbers for you here, Chris. Steph Curry, who's been in the league forever, he played in 80 games his rookie season. He's gotten the other, just the notable seasons. He's got a 74, 78, 78, 80, 79, 79. And then after 2016-2017, Steph Curry has not eclipsed 70 games.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that either. He has not eclipsed 70 games. 51, 69, 5, 63, 64, 56, 41.
Wow. Well, then I wonder if it could just be a switch in sports medicine, too. I mean, it could just be that these athletic trainers are telling them, hey, like, if you're hurt, miss a game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's kind of where it might have started also to get a little bit out of hand and people kind of took an inch or got an inch and took a yard. I think that people realized, you know, you see Larry Bird can't like he's got to lay down on his stomach at the age of whatever, 36, on the sideline. I think that they realized, yeah, Michael Jordan played 82 games, but was it better for his body? You know, Michael Jordan also missed a couple seasons there to go play baseball. Like, what did, you know, what did that break? Could he have had that extra second stint of his career if he didn't take that time off? It's interesting. I mean, you could argue Kobe possibly got hurt because he played at a too much for too long. Mm-hmm. You could just argue that it's just them learning new information and saying, hey, if you want to be like LeBron, though LeBron's a bad example because, like I said, I mean, he was a freak of nature. But if you want to play 15, 20 years in the NBA, you got to take some days off. Like you got to treat your body right. You can't just run it into the ground and then during summer use 3 months to try and recoup and then just tear your body apart again. I think if I had to guess, it started with medicine saying just take rest is great. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that every doctor will tell you nowadays is get rest, and sleep is the number one thing that you can do to improve your overall performance. And, you know, I think it definitely led down a bad path, but I feel like 60. I just don't think they're ever going to find the right number between 60 right. and 65.
Would does 3 games really change anything? Right. I mean, if you go down to 60, does it change?
Someone's
anything?
Always going to just barely miss
exactly.
it. Every time.
I would love to have our guy who does game night, the high flyer Henry Turner, who obviously played in the league. I'd love to get his thoughts on this as a player, because okay, Tyrese Halliburton, you don't like it. Okay, Draymond Green, you don't like it. And I haven't listened to Draymond. Maybe he offers a solution. But what is the solution?
Right.
Because you can't not is it 50? 50 feels way too low.
Yeah.
60, I guess you could argue 60. Some people would say that's too low too. Real quick, just wanted to get Kevin Durant's because I think his is fascinating as well. These guys that have been in the league for so long. Rookie season, he plays 80 games. 80, I'm just going to read off the years.
Yeah.
80, 74, 82, 78, 66, 81. He went back-to-back in 2013, 2014, 81 games, Kevin Durant. After that, 27.
Hmm. Well, he got
Is
hurt.
Is there any correlation?
He got hurt.
He played 2 seasons straight of 81 games, then he gets hurt the next season.
Exactly.
Okay, gets hurt, 72, and then here starts his Warriors tenure, 62, 68, 78. The year he played the most games, they lose a championship. He tears his Achilles.
I'm telling you, I don't think that there's that's a coincidence.
But I don't know, right? Achilles, that's not something you can play through.
Yeah.
So I don't know the correlation. I don't know what to do with the fact that Michael Jordan played 81 games nine times. Were they just built different? I truly don't know.
You said it in the tease, though. I mean, they're playing way more basketball also. Michael
On
Jordan
the way
didn't
up.
Have
He's
to
not
play
an AAU.
The AAU circuit, all that stuff. I mean, you would only – and you'd play other sports as well. I mean, what are the – I mean, LeBron, I know, played football, but, like, what are the odds that
– And AAU.
De'Aaron Fox played anything else besides basketball, you know?
Right.
And
just
– All summer.
Remove LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he's an alien.
He's
Remove
broken.
LeBron.
Yes.
All these other – he's an alien among aliens, to be honest.
Right.
So – all these other guys, you're playing AAU as soon as, you know how parents are. Okay, you're interested in this. Oh, shoot, you just hit a growth spurt. All right.
Yeah. Everything.
I guess you're a basketball player now. You're a hooper now, and you're playing all day. Basketball, football, you have to take some type of breaks, whether that's just due to the game, weather, whatever. All baseball and the Tommy John thing with baseball.
Absolutely.
Baseball, basketball, they're not stopping. We have doctors on these shows. They say, let your kids play everything. They're letting their kids play everything, but they're still playing that number one sport all the time.
Right, absolutely. I remember when I was in elementary school, we had this kid who, he was just a great athlete, but his parents were convinced that he was going to be an NBA star. Mm-hmm. And so he was in the AAU, and he was... He was better than us at basketball, but he wasn't nothing crazy. He wasn't going to the league. But to your point, like, the kid was great at baseball. He was good at football. A good athlete, could have been a receiver, but he just spent all of his time playing basketball on top of all that other stuff, and he would miss other things because it just feels like to the bigger point of it all, it does feel like it starts. It's just a conversation of do we. In America, bring up our athletes in the right way, because there's also the conversation of, I mean, it was a really hot button topic this summer with FIBA going on. all the top young NBA players are all from overseas. So are we doing this correctly by running our athletes into the ground by the time they even get to college? I don't think so, but it's weird. I don't have an answer. I'm sure there's definitely some doctor or someone just smarter than I am that could give you some direct correlation to why it seems like all those guys played the 82. I mean, you said John Stockton played 16 seasons of what? Like,
yeah, John Stockton played all 82 games 16
yeah,
times.
Yeah, like that's
insane.
What's the answer for that? Like, how is John Stockton with worse medicine, with worse shoes, with worse technology, all worse everything?
Crazy.
I just mean, like, you know, the technology and Steph's shoes today, the grip and all that stuff is much different than John Stockton playing in Converse or whatever. How is all of that stuff true? And John Stockton's walking around and he's not looking like Larry Bird with a broken back. Like, how is that possible? But then we can't even get LeBron James to play multiple 82 games.
This is actually insane, okay? John Stockton...
It could
these numbers are actually insanity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. He played 19 seasons. Mm. Okay. Here are John Stockton's games played, all right? And this is games started. It's a little bit different. We'll start from when he became a starter essentially in 1987, okay? But honestly, we don't have to. We can just do all of them. Games played, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 78, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82, 64, 50, 82, 82, 82, 82, in 2003. He was 40.
It's ridiculous.
He was 40.
Yeah. I mean, look at Chris Paul right now.
27 minutes.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, maybe I have no explanation for that. Maybe in general, the fact that today the game is played at such a higher pace and like people jump higher, they run faster, they're stronger. That impact, maybe, you know, maybe it's impact
AAU.
Hitting the ground. There could be so many different factors.
That's true.
But the John Stockton thing also, I can't believe it. John Stockton is an alien.
No, he's
aliens
a monster.
As well. That's insane.
He's a monster. All right, we have some suggestions from the text line, and shout out to the SAC chat. We will get to them when we get back. Continue the conversation. Styles and Watkins, SAC Town Sports.